Well, here we are then, a week before Royal Ascot. Really looking forward to the big week coming up. Welcome along to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. And like I say, we've got a weekend's action to preview here, and we're getting into the big week next week. And talking about next week, our postcast will be coming on Monday morning next week. A top five bets video for Royal Ascot. Myself, Graham Robway, Robbie Wilders and Ed Nixon will be joining me for that. Really excited for that. We did it for Cheltenham, really popular. And you'll be able to see that from 11 a.m. on Monday morning. But who joins me this week to preview the action at York, Sandown and Chester? We've got Matt Gardner and Graham Robway from the Racing Post. And of course, from Unibet, as always, we've got Ed Nicholson. Ed, really looking forward to next week. We've still got one more weekend of racing to go.
We have a great week's racing next week at Royal Ascot. Many people's week of the year, isn't it? But yeah, this weekend is particularly tricky. Plenty of handicaps and plenty of runners.
Absolutely, yeah. And we're going to get stuck straight into the action. The first part of the show, we'll be looking at York. The second part of the show, looking at Sandown and Chester. And you'll get any other bets and our best bets at the end of the show. So kicking off with York, we start off with the 150 there, which is a 1.5-mile handicap. It's the Queen's Mother's Cup handicap, and this is for female amateur jockeys, a class three event. And Unibet's prices at the time of recording around 1 p.m. on Thursday have Star Jasmine as the 11-2 favorite, Arrange and Gibside as 7-1, Chase the Dollar and Southern Voyage 8-1, 9-1 about Lord Melbourne and Piece de Resistance. And we're looking at double figures and bigger about the rest of the field. And Matt Gardner, I'll come to you first here. A handicap for female amateur jockeys. How did you find looking at this?
Yeah, it's you've kind of got to treat them a little differently. Jockeyship comes into it a lot, obviously. As a general rule, I like to not get too far back in these amateur races. It's caveated a little bit by the round course at York. It is easier to make up ground from behind than elsewhere, or than at a lot of tracks. And also, you know, you're kind of looking for a nice straightforward horse, really. And Arrange, I thought, fit the bill for this. She'll be ridden by Josephine Townend, who won it last year. And I mean, she refused to race once last year. But other than that, she's just got a really sort of dead solid, consistent profile. So I don't quite know what went wrong that day. I think it was at Ripon. But yeah, this year she was considerately handled on a reappearance. I thought she looked back in good nick at York last time. She shaped like she'd come on again for the run a little bit, to be honest. She's got the ideal racing style for this sort of race. Travels pretty well, usually sits sort of mid-div or further forwards. Good jockey on board. So, yeah, ticked all the right boxes for me.
Yeah, last year's winning rider. So, Arrange at 7-1 for Matt Gardner. Graham Robway to you next. How did you find the female amateur jockey's handicap?
God, I found it an absolute nightmare, Sam. You know how to pick them, don't you? Talk about a difficult race. I mean, there's so many runners in it. I don't know what some of the jockeys can do. So I've taken a chance on Chase the Dollar, who's ridden by Kaylee McCammon, claiming 7. As far as I can see, it's her first ever ride anywhere. So we'll see whether she is any good. Hopefully she won't need to be, because Chase the Dollar, when he is good, he's very good, as we saw at Chester. Just two outings ago on quick ground, and he absolutely trounced the field from the front by 6 lengths. He looked really good that day. He's a very uncomplicated ride, so a good ride for an amateur having her first ride in public. And he backed that up, I thought, last time out with another solid effort, not beating far, a couple of lengths into third. So off this mark, he's banging form, and he races prominently, like Matt says, can sometimes be a big plus in these races. So obviously, I'm not very confident because I don't know what the jockey can do, but hopefully she will ride the winner on her first ever ride.
Okay, a fairly tentative selection for Graham Robway, and then Chase the Dollar in the 150 at York. And Ed Nicholson, to you next. Have we got any offers to kick off this week's show?
We have. We've got the big offer, the money back second or third. If your horse finishes second or third in this particular contest, you get your money back. Terms and conditions apply. 18 runners, and as the guys have said, it's a really tricky affair, isn't it? Really tricky. So again, it's not a confidence selection at all, but I've gone for Star Jasmine, the favourite. Only had 4 runs, lightly raced, the only 3-year-old in the contest, and the jockey Sophie Smith, she's had 77 rides, she's had 9 winners and plenty of places. So unlike a few of these jockeys, she has got experience, and The one worry I had about this horse was that Star Jasmine is trying 1 mile four for the first time. She'd been running over a mile, mile one, but I noted that she won in heavy going at Bath as a 2 year old on heavy going over a mile. So she was from book one tax sales, 400,000 guineas. So she's obviously a good looking sort, well bred individual. She's still got a whole lot of her racing career ahead of her, Star Jasmine. And I just thought it's worth taking a chance with the improver, but it's a tentative selection, I must say.
Yeah, I think it is for everyone in this race. But Star Jasmine, 11-2 of Unibet currently for Ed Nixon. Let's move on to another handicap then. The 225 is a handicap over 7 furlongs, which sees Alto at the top of the market, Ian Williams and Ryan Moore, 5-1. Ah Havano's 8-1, New Image, 17-2. Yennefer and Woven are 9-1. 10-1 about Mudima and Quintus Arius. And 14's Bar. Ed Nixon, straight back to you on this one here. Another competitive race, just as difficult. Who do we like?
Yeah, it's even more competitive this time. 20 runners, 11-2, 6-1 the field. Once again, really difficult, but we've got an extra place, if that helps, in this race. We've actually got 21 extra placed races throughout the course of the day. This day, there are 8 meetings in the UK and Ireland, 60 races, and we've got 21 extra placed races. This is one of them, and you probably need it as well. I immediately looked at Ryan Moore for Ian Williams, and I thought, I bet you that's quite an interesting jockey booking, but going through my research, it didn't seem to be that good when you look at the stats. Or profitable. But Aalto's obviously got a very good chance. Ryan Moore's just, we all know how good he is as a jockey. But I was a bit put off. I thought that Ian would go to Ryan as the go-to jockey, but it doesn't seem to be the case. My eye was then drawn to Our Havana, who put in a really good performance at headquarters in April, gone up £4. The jockey that day just said that he found a bit more when the others came. He apparently been working really well at home, according to the trainer, before that race. Looks like he's an improving sort in his second season racing. I just thought the better ground would probably suit him as well. I still think he's probably one step ahead of handicap. As I say, only got up £4 for that victory. And around about 9-1, I think he's been backed as well in the early skirmishes with us, was as big as 12s, I think, when we first put our prices up. So Our Havana, towards the bottom end of the handicap, a likely improver again, but a really difficult competitive race.
Yeah, Our Havana then, Fred Nicholson. Yeah, Ryan Moore on out at the top of the market. Ryan Moore sure to be a short price favourite to be top jockey at the Royal Meeting next week. Graham Robway, looking at this race here, Ryan Moore favourite with or without?
No, I'll be against that in this sort of race, especially with Ed offering us the extra place. I think they're worth having a go at one at a price. And Tim Easterby's horses have been banging form, haven't they, the last couple of weeks? They've really been running well. And I just wonder whether he might have your man there ready to go first time for him. He was trained in Ireland last year. It's got the form to run a big race. Albeit at Roscommon, how that translates to York, your guess is as good as mine. But if he does show what he showed there last season, I think he's got a chance off a marker 90. Phil Dennis is riding. Easterby's got 3 or 4 others in the race. It's not a race that I like. It looks absolutely impossible as far as I'm concerned. But like I say, with extra places on offer, I'll be having a stab at one at a big old price. And your man there fits the bill for informed Tim Easterby for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Easterby's got plenty of runners. I was looking at some of the Easterby runners. Interesting that he's now taken Austrian Theory, who was a likable horse for the Johnsons as well. So I had a look at that horse and it'd be interesting to see how he goes first time out for the Easterbys. To you then, Matt Gardner, who did you look at? Have you got one at a big price?
I was going to chuck a couple at it, to be honest, which I think you'll probably need. One of them was another Easterby horse, Boardman. he's, you know, he's as low in, well, he's lower in the weights than he's been since this April 2022. And I mean, you look at his form figures and he hasn't shown much this year, but I think he's in better nick than that. It was a typical Easterby considerate reappearance. He met trouble last time. Nothing went right for him at Chester the time before that. he obviously handles tight tracks well. He's got a good record at Chester, but he has won over course and distance at York. That's absolutely fine for him. You know, his style is of a horse that should do well over seven furlongs at York. So he's handicapped to run a good race. And then the other one was Quintus Arias, who, to be totally honest with you, I thought it'd be a bigger price. I wouldn't want to be backing him at any shorter than 12s. I thought it'd be more like 16s, 18s or something. But he's just one of those horses that he's been a bit frustrating. He won a sprint handicap at Hamilton off 79 last year. And he was with Kevin Ryan at that point. And I thought he'd kind of go on to bigger and better things after that. And it just never really happened for him. He joined Peter Niven, didn't really show much for him at the end of last year. But his reappearance was pretty encouraging. That when he didn't back that up last time. But he's just the sort of horse that, stepping up in trip in a big field, he could pop up in one of these if he sort of consents to run his race. But like I say, 12s is on the skinny side compared to what I thought. So between him and Boardman, hopefully you'll get at least some sort of run.
Okay, Quintus Arias, one of those. And it seems like at the Racing Post, we're trying to land the Timmies to be tri-cast in this race here. Ed Nicholson taking us on with our Havana. Let's move on to the listed contest on the card. Then it's a race to the Ebor Grand Cup Stakes over a mile, six furlongs. We've got six runners here. Relentless Voyager, last time winner at Epsom, 5-2 favourite. Klondike is 100-30. Real Dream is 4-1. Chesspiece, 5-1. Salt Bay is 6-1. And Divine Jewel is 10-1. Graham Robbo, I'm going to come to you first in this one, because we were at Epsom and we saw an impressive display from this favourite here, Relentless Voyager. Obviously plans are to go to the Ebor, and seems like the horse has been well supported once again.
Yeah, it was a bit of a low point of the day watching him win, wasn't it? Having heard a bit of a word for him that he might be a good bit better than a handicapper. I obviously don't tend to listen too much to words and go off my own judgment and back a loser while watching Relentless Voyager hack up as one of the easiest winners of a handicap that you're ever going to see in your life. Yeah. I think he'll win, Sam, if he turns up in that sort of form that he showed at Epsom last time. He did it so easily. He had a lot of weight, but I know they've always held him in high regard. He was really highly tried last year, wasn't he? He's had win problems, I think. He was beaten by one of these, wasn't he? Real Dream. He was behind him at Newmarket. I was there that day, and I backed Relentless Voyager just to rub further salt into the wound, having not stuck with him at Epsom. And he was definitely given, shall we say, a considerate return by Oshie Murphy, who had him sort of held up at the back, and the front two got clear, and then he ran on for third behind them. I don't think he'll have any problem reversing those places with Real Dream. When I did my Racing and Football Outlook column at the start of the week, I did tip my old friend Salt Bay, who I thought had a huge chance if the ground came up soft. And there was plenty of rain in the forecast, but this forecast is just a nightmare, isn't it? I mean, one minute it's raining, the next minute it's sunny. It looked to me like it would be soft ground, but they haven't had much by the looks of it at York. And I know they were meant to get a lot tomorrow, but I've looked at the forecast. I can't see it coming. And I think Salt Bay does want soft ground. So for that reason, Sam, I'm going to back Relentless Voyager.
Yeah, Relentless Voyager there. I'm going to be with Relentless Voyager as well. Ed, I'm just going to come to you because I did mention earlier been well sports. I'm pretty sure I've seen sort of 5-1 earlier in the week. Now halved in price to 5-2. I could probably see this horse shortening even more.
Yeah, I kind of watched that race again on video this morning, and I remember him winning really easy, and he did win easy, but I don't think as easy as everyone's saying on the podcast. He came there and he cleared, and he was under pressure, and but he won going away. Don't get me wrong, he won easily, but I seem to remember him coming there on the bridle, because when I was at Epsom, I couldn't really see a lot, and but he was, you know, the persuader was pulled a few times, but yeah, he won easily, but I'm not a big fan of Epsom handicaps. I think there's so many horses that don't perform at Epsom, and you don't know at the time which ones haven't and which ones have. Obviously, the ones nearer the front you tend to think have performed, and the ones at the back haven't. I'm going to take him on with the group horses stepping down rather than the handicapper stepping up. And I was the same with Graham. I was looking at Salt Bay, but his form is all on soft ground. I mean, everything. He's run twice on something less than soft or good to soft, and he's come 7th of 7th and 6th of 8th, and the last time out was that 6th of 8 in the John Porter. John Porter the time before when he came third at Hamish, that was on soft going. Sorry, and that was a good performance. So if you look at that on the soft going, I think he wins his race. But because it's the good ground came the next run when he came sixth in the Aston Park Stakes at Newbury, and he finished well down the field. I think that John Porter form is the one I'm going to take, but I'm going to go for Chess Piece, who finished behind Saltburn, quite a long way behind, over 4.5 lengths behind, I think. But I think the ground will reverse that form. I just don't think Salt Bay. I mean, I could even see Salt Bay coming out if the ground was good or good to firm. I think they've left him in there because, as Graham says, the weather apps are saying there might be some rain. But Chess Piece is blinker for the first time. He's rated towards the top end. I mean, he's 108. The top rated horse is Salt Bay and 109. He's been nibbled at from sevens into fives, as far as I can see. I think the drying conditions would definitely suit Chess Piece. He's already won over the course, be it over a mile and a half. He's finished third at Royal Ascot in the Queen's Vias on good going, which if it is good, that will suit. I think there's a lot going for him. And I think he's a big price. If the going remains on the far side, if it goes soft, I would change it to Salt Bay. But it's that race. It's a John Porter, the Grade 3 going down to a listed rather than the handicap at Epsom coming up that I go for.
Yeah, it seems like Salt Bay's the worry if the ground does get soft for both Graham and Ed there. But Chess Piece, yeah, Godolphin, Simon Ahead, Crisford and Paul Morenan. Not a typical Godolphin combination, is it? But Paul Morenan's so good at York. So, yeah, a bigger price selection there from Ed in a six-runner field. And Matt, speaking off air, you were quite keen on the favourite as well, Relentless Voyager.
Yeah, I was. Don't have masses to add to what G-Rod said, really. Other than, you know, these races, smallish fields at this sort of trip can often be as much of a test of speed at the trip as they can stamina, and he's going to have that in his favour as well. I'm a couple of miles away from the racecourse, and we are forecast quite a lot of rain tonight. My garden's walking soft. I don't know how much that tallies to the nose, Mo. I don't know, but yeah, we are forecast quite a bit of rain tonight, so it might just get into it. I don't know, but like you say, the forecast being all over the place. Yeah, I sort of quite like Klondike as well, stepping up in trip, and he's obviously unexposed. But I watched his run at York last time, and he didn't hit the line quite as strongly as I sort of remembered from when I watched that race first time. So yeah, I like Relentless Voyager most as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Relentless Voyager could be tough to beat in the 3 o'clock. So that was a little bit of an easier race of only six runners, but let's just ramp it up once again to 19 runners in the 3:35 at York. This is the 6 furlong Churchill Tires supporting Macmillan Sprint Handicap as a Class 2 event. And we've got Eldramed as the 13-2 favourite at the top of the market at Unibet. Ziggy's Condors, 7-1. Woodhay Wonder, 15-2. 17-2 about James's Delight and Pocklington. 12-1 about Serried Ranks, Garfield Shadow and Chief Mankato, 14s bar these. And I'm once again going to be very shocked if Ed Nix doesn't tell me we've got an extra place here.
Yeah, an extra place in this race. And once again, you'll need it. Very competitive. I'm a big fan of James's Delight. I do like this horse. I think there's a big race in him. He's still in some big races, I think, coming up in the next few weeks, maybe at Royal Ascot as well. But he does need the ground, I think, to be different from what he's going to get here. So I'll leave him, although Ryan Moore's booked to ride. I'm going to go for the win machine that is Woodhay Wonder, who's now five turf wins from six runs. Just keeps on winning for Tom Ward. Tom used to be with Richard Hannon. We know him very well. Top man, knows his horses inside out, and he just loves this horse, as you would. He just keeps on finding. Tom McQuan won him last time. I think it was last time. He said as soon as the other horse came near him, he just picked up. And didn't win by far. It's gone up in the handicaps now, running off 98. I think he started his run off 88. All his wins recently have been at Newmarket, York here, but that shouldn't worry. I'm not too worried about that. I just think he'll continue to win. I mean, obviously, it's got to come to an end sometime. I just think he'll go one more and win again. I do. You just love these horses that stick their necks out, don't you? And he just you can see him trying. He's a lovely horse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Woodhay Wonder for me, around about 6-7-1.
Yeah, Woodhay Wonder then. Fred Nixon mentions for James Delight, top weight in the race here is in the Wokingham Stakes at Royal Ascot, around a 25-1 shot for that. Matt, to you here, like we say, another competitive handicap. Interesting that Chris Hayes is on the favourite here, Eldramed, for William Haggis. This could be a popular team up, but again, so competitive and we're going to get a good price here.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't fancy Eldramed at all. He he was smashed up last time into about 6-4 he went off over 7 furlongs it was, and he just looked tasteless to me. I mean, I know it's Haggis, and you could think you could take the money for him at that day as a positive in the sense that they think he's capable of a lot better, but yeah, dropping back in trip, that might perk him up. I didn't like that. I like Pocklington a lot. I think he might end up being a lot better than a mark of 96. He won twice on or weather at Newcastle earlier in the year. They were novice races, but they're all for it. The form stacks up well. He beat Army Ethos, who was second in the Coventry last year. Army Ethos didn't give his sort of full run in that day, but he was 9 lengths clear of the third. You know, it wasn't like a bad run. They gave him a little break. They stuck him in that listed sprint at Newbury. And for a long way, he looked, you know, a match for all of them. He travelled really well. He ultimately just needed the run a little bit. And I still think he looked a little bit green off the bridle, only his third start, a much tougher sort of environment than he'd faced on his previous starts. I think he'll come on for that sort of physically and mentally. You know, he's got the pedigree to rate a lot higher still. He's by Blue Point and Outer Ladies Are Forever, who won 3 Group 3 sprints at York. You know, physically, he looks a proper sort of sprinting type as well. So, yeah, I'd be disappointed if he can't defy a mark of 96.
Interesting, Matt. We look at racing in a similar way. I really like Pocklington here. Like you say, that Carnarvon Stakes, the winner elite status, second Reef Rally, both, you know, fancied enough for Group 1 contests at Royal Ascot next week. And we'll be getting on to the third in that race today in Devon shortly. But a really good race, that Carnarvon Stakes. And like you say, could be far, far better than his current mark. Graham Robway, to you then, to finish us off at York, who do you like?
Yeah, I really quite fancy one here, Sam, especially if the rain, I'm not sure is going to arrive or might arrive or might not.
We need a weather forecast on this show, don't we?
Oh, well, this summer has been so difficult, hasn't it? It seems like just as I'm writing, oh, summer's on its way, it rains for the next 2 weeks, and then the ground's fast. And so confusing. Serried Ranks is a horse that I've had in my tracker since it won at Goodwood last year, and it absolutely thrashed Starlust off level weight, if you include Connor Planus's claim. And Starlust is now rated 114, and Serried Ranks is racing off 93 here. So if you take that form literally, he could be absolutely thrown in. He's had 2 runs since he finished lame when I tipped and backed him at air on heavy ground on his final start in listed company last year. And then he returned in a quite a hot 5 furlong handicap at Sandown. And 5 furlongs is definitely not his trip. And he shaped like he wanted a step up in distance. He was coming on nicely at the finish. He'll definitely improve for that run. He's going back up in trip. I think Serried Ranks, as long as the ground's not quick, will run a huge race here, Sam.
Just keep an eye on that ground at York this week. So there we go. Serried Ranks in the 3:35 at York for Graham Robway. So that's the 4 races covered on ITV from York. We'll be back shortly after this Members Club advert with Sandown and Chester. Royal Ascot is fast approaching, and Racing Post Members Club is the best place to be ahead of the Royal meeting. Get exclusive tips, access to the digital newspaper, race analysis and replays, and much more. And currently ahead of Royal Ascot, you can get access to Racing Post Members Club for just £10 a month for the first 3 months. Use code SUMMER24 to get access. Welcome back to part 2 of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. We've covered York. We now move to Sandown, where we've got a handicap over a mile, the 205. There's a Class 2 event, which is the Roger Till Train Dancing Magic at the top of the market. Unibet 9-2. Classic is 11-2. Flying Frontier is 13-2. Dual Identity 7-1. Mascarpone is 9-1. Double figures about the rest. Ed, Classic was a horse for Hannon that I really, really liked. I wasn't sure about this race, but last season I was a big fan of this horse. Didn't quite deliver on what I expected, but I think there's plenty of ability there. I don't know if Hannon's talked about this horse much this season.
No, I haven't spoken to him about Classic, but we've got the blog that comes out on Friday mid-morning. So we're actually talking to Richard at the moment. I'm not speaking to him this week, but yeah, he was always going on about Classic. He thought it was much better. Remember the Goodwood? He looked, he came there,
yes,
and he looked like he was going to, you know, be a really decent horse. But I think the first run will put the cobwebs away, and he might run well here. I must admit, he's been nibbled at as well. When I say nibbled, he's cut half in the betting since we opened up the betting. But I'm going to go for another one. I'm going to go for a course specialist. Well, he's becoming a course specialist. He's won three times now. Dual Identity. He's won over a mile. He's won over 10 furlongs. He's won on good going. He's won on heavy going. And given we don't know what the weather's going to do, I think it's quite a clever thing to back a horse. It doesn't seem to need it one way or the other. Like we were saying, we all at different locations in the UK. I'm not far from Sandown here, and it does look bleak here. I mean, it looks like it's going to rain in a minute, but that's my weather forecast for Sandown. So we just don't know. But Dual Identity loves the course. He's a he's a bit like a 200 and 400 meter runner. You know, one week he's running over 200, next one he's running over 400. This fella runs over a mile and a quarter. He's entered in some big races in the coming weeks over a mile, but also he's in the John Smith's over a mile and a quarter in July, back up at York. So he's a horse that needs to be held up of a fast pace. He got that last time at Sandown, and he came through really strongly under Neil Callan. Mm. I think it was Neil Callan that day, and he looked really, really useful on the heavy going. I think he'll get a fast run race. You tend to do so at Sandown, especially given the draw. I mean, there's 16 runners in here. It's a real disadvantage to come around that bend drawn wide. So they tend to try to get an early position by coming across, or they drop in. But if they drop in, they've literally got no chance unless it opens up like the Red Sea. So they try to go fast, and that invariably means that a horse that can get an early pitch on the inside or mid pitch is in a good position. And Dual Identity's drawn three. He was drawn three last time at Sandown when he won. He's drawn three again today. I just thought he had a lot going for him. And then you look at the trainer, William Knight, is in form. He's in really in form. Four winners from his last 14 runners in the last 14 days. O'Shea Murphy is riding a different horse today. He's on Dancing Magic, but he used to ride Dual Identity and for William Knight in the past. But Neil Callan's on board. And he gets on well with this horse. And as I look down, he's the only course and distance winner in the race, if I remember rightly. But there's only a couple. Yeah, only a couple.
I do like
course and distance winners at Sandown, any track, but especially at Sandown, that uphill finish, you need to be able to get up there, especially with a fast pace. And the faster they go, the better, because as I say, he stays 10 furlongs. So yeah, Dual Identity was the one for me. I think it'll go really well. A fair price, been backed as well since we issued the prices, around about 6-1.
Okay, Dual Identity then for Ed Nixon. Remember, do look out for that Richard Hannon blog as well with regards to his weekend run. I was actually going back and looking at Classic's run. Yeah, beaten a neck by the Foxes, who then went on to finish fifth in August Rodin's Derby. So, you know, he had some good form. Whether he can get that ability back, who knows? And we were talking about weather then. It'd be ideal today if we had a Goodwood, York, Sandown and Chelmsford preview, wouldn't it? We'd get the weather spot on for that. Graham Robway, to you then. This is a really top class handicap, probably one of the better handicaps we're going to be covering this week. Who did you fancy?
Yeah, it's a good race, isn't it? I was there when Dual Identity won on Brigadier Gerard night, and I backed Classic to win that race at 6-1 the night before. He drifted to 8-1, wasn't fancied at all, and ran absolutely terribly. However, I thought it was between Dual Identity and Classic, so I picked the wrong one. This time, I'm going to back Dual Identity, so I expect that Classic will probably win. That's usually what happens. But Dual Identity was miles ahead of him last time at Sandown. He's only gone up £4. Ed said he loves the course. You know, he's sure to run well, Dual Identity, but... If Classic wins, I just give up the game, I think.
No, I'll give you a forecast, Grant. Do the forecast. Matt, you're going to finish us off in the 205. Who did you like here?
Yeah, I'm not going to go too far off piste because I liked Classic as well. Yeah, like you said, Sammy, I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. He looked a bit of a slow learner to me, to be honest, last year. These horses that race quite keenly, and it's almost like they don't quite know what they're doing yet, and he won last year despite doing that. He ran a good race behind Crack Shot at the end of the year, who won a Newmarket handicap, I think, on maybe at the Craven meeting earlier this year, off £5-6 higher. His family, his best sibling, Beautiful Morning, she was at her best as a four-year-old, and I quite like the angle of these three-year-olds that sort of, on the face of it, they look like they've had a bit of racing, but they don't necessarily deliver everything. And I think Classic, first half of his four-year-old campaign, might be the sort of horse that finally gets his act together.
There we go. I actually gave Classic a mention to give Ed the great opportunity to plug the Richard Hannon blog, but turns out a couple fancy it. So there we go. We'll have to wait and see what Richard Hannon has to say about the horse. Let's move on then to the Scurry Stakes, shall we? Listed contest at 2:40 at Sandown. 5 furlongs, proper burn up through the middle of the course here. A Day in Devon is topping the market at 2-1. Floor of Bermuda, big fan of this horse last year, 100-30. No Half Measures, 4-1. Graceful Thunder, 17-2. Night Eyes is 10-1, Dawn Charger 12s, Symbology 12s, and Unbreak My Heart is 20-1. I'd actually really like Flora of Bermuda if the ground was to come up soft. Again, we're probably waiting for that. Matt, I'll come to you first. Then A Day in Devon, we mentioned the form of that Carnarvon Stakes, probably as strong as it can get in a race like this. What do we make looking at the market?
Yeah, she's got the best form. I think she's plateaued a little bit now. The thing is, the rest have got to improve a little bit to get to her level. I quite like No Half Measures. She's really progressive. It was a decent time that she won in at Goodwood. I think the second, who was 3-4 lengths behind her, McLovin, I think he's quite well treated, actually. He was drawn badly in that three-year-old dash. So I won't read too much into that. So I quite liked her. But I think Night Eyes is too big a price at sort of double figures, if you're pushing double figures. This is obviously tougher, but she's just really progressive. She beat Unexposed when a Gosden's called Ananda at Doncaster last time, I thought pretty readily. It's the first time she's tried 5 furlongs, but it's obviously a stiffish 5 at Ascot. And if anything, she's getting quicker with racing, which can happen with these sprinters. So, yeah, she's got to improve again, carry on that kind of progressive thread. But if she does, I thought she was closer to a sort of 6-1. Shot than a 10-11-1 shot.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, bigger price in the field. Graham Robway, I know you're quite keen on the favourite here, A Day in Devon. Sylvester Souza taking the ride. I love Sylvester Souza in sprints, top man when it comes to the sprints. And like we say, the form's all there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, to my eyes, she's just better than these, and she should show her class here. I mean, she's been running in group races and listed races, hasn't she? I know this is a listed race, but she won well at Bath, which is a similar sort of stiff 5 furlongs, and Sylvester de Souza's on her drawn 3. It all looks pretty simple to me. Blast her out, away we go. Sylvester is probably the best in sprint races, or has been for a long time, and I think they'll struggle to catch her. I should probably say that I did back on Monday Graceful Thunder, thinking that the rain would arrive, and it hasn't. Whether Graceful Thunder will still line up, we'll see. I suspect that might depend on how much rain comes, and there isn't all that much forecast, so I might end up being on an anti-post loser there. The first thing that Ed said to me when I told him I fancied Day in Devon was, would she go on the ground? And that is a bit of a question, I guess. Most of her best form's on soft, but it never gets soft at Bath, and she was impressive there on what must have been fairly quick ground. So I think she'll get away with it, and her class should out here, Sam.
Okay, Day in Devon then. Yeah, one at Bath and second in the Commonwealth Cup trial to Jasaur, and third to Elite Status at Newbury in the Carnarvon. It's as strong as it gets. Ed Nixon, you're going to finish us off in the Scurry Stakes. Who did you like?
Yeah, I'm going to go A Day in Devon. And I asked that question to Graham because that's the only doubt I have in my mind. Good to firm. She hasn't won on Good Firm. She's run well on Good to Firm. But I once again, going to the Excellent Racing Post website, I looked at the quotes, and back in 2023, James Milman does say that she needs soft ground. I mean, that's over a year ago. I then actually asked Rod Milman after she won at Bath, the Lansdowne Fillies, which is a really good race at the beginning of the season, always won by a good filly, whether she should be better on better ground. And he said there shouldn't be a problem. So, you know, I think that she's obviously very good in soft, but she's equally good on good. I think she probably just gets through the softer ground better than the others. And it's just whether she will be showing her best on good to firm if it got, you know, that firm. Because that's actually going to be almost the fastest we've had this season, good to firm. But she's a top-rated filly in the race. And as everybody has said, Sylvester de Souza, the stats don't lie. He's actually has a better success rate in sprint races than he does over, you know, the mile or a mile and a half. He just gets these horses rolling. on sprint distances. She's a bit short in the betting, 15 to 8, though. I was expecting her to be a little bit bigger because there isn't too much between two or three. So, yeah, a day in Devon for me. I did speak to the owners at Bath after they won, and they were donning their hats, getting ready for Royal Ascot. So it's interesting that they've gone here. I don't know what she would have gone for in Royal Ascot, actually, but they've obviously targeted this race because it's totally winnable. Another piece of black type, and I think a day in Devon will win. Just that slight concern about the very faster ground than she's been running over of late.
Yeah, I suppose they could have had a crack at the Commonwealth Cup, couldn't they? But just not to that level. So this is a much easier race to go and win at Sandown this weekend. But a day in Devon gets the vote for Ed Nicholson. Go on, Ed.
I should just say, sorry, I've been poor in my duties. We are offering super boost on this race as well. So there's a super boost where you choose which horse you want to boost in this particular race. And that's available from 9 a.m. Saturday.
Saturday 9 a.m. Do check out unibet.co.uk for all the terms and conditions there. The final race that we look at on the ITV card comes from Chester. It's just shy of a mile. We've got a Rudy Handicap Class 2 event. 14 runners round Chester, and we've got 4-1 favourite in Witness Stand, Tom Clover and Holly Door. Princess Alex is 7-1. Blueprints and Sail This Ship Alone is 10-1. Love Billy Boy is 10-1. Bruno Nation 10-1. Monfred 10-1. Expert Choice 10-1. And Burdette is 11-1. Looking at bigger the rest. This race here, we've had tough handicaps, haven't we? And then we just throw one in at Chester to make it just as tough. Ed, I'll just quickly start with you. What have we got here?
Well, it's a very tough race. Very tough indeed. 14 runners. This was the race where I was surprised there were no course and distance winners. At Chester over this distance, you normally see course and distance. But Witness Stand, the favourite, is a course winner over 7 furlongs and has come second over this distance at Chester. But, and she's got Holly Doyle aboard. Witness Stand's got Holly Doyle aboard, but has drawn 12 of 14, which really, really puts me off, to be honest. The Skelding could be one step ahead and just better than the rest. Is the highest rated horse, highest rated handicap horse in the race. But I was looking elsewhere, and there's a horse here who I have actually looked at before on this programme, who I think's got the perfect draw. And draw is really important, Chester. I know we all go on about it, and I know there is a cutaway now, but it's still very important. And I like a front-running horse on the turn at Chester, as most people do. And I like the look of Monfred, number 8, who's available at about 10-1. Lightly raced individual, drawn stall 2, which is, obviously one worse than stall 1, but in stall 1 is a horse owned by the same connections, and it's a horse that actually doesn't get out that well to Rab, who's very slowly away on most occasions. So I can just see Monfred, who does race prominently of what we've seen, lightly race individual, has only had 2 runs on turf. I thought last time out at Goodwood was in a race it couldn't win, was 20-1, ran well from the front, showed a lot of effort. I just thought this was a winnable race from a stable that do well at Chester in William Haggis, a jockey who's riding really well at the moment, Kieran Fallon, on a horse that's bound to improve from a good draw. So I've talked myself into a bet on Monfred in the last race at Chester on the ITV.
Okay, yeah, Kieran Fallon taking the ride. I might be wrong here, but I think Kieran Fallon just the other day he rode a winner at every course in the UK, I believe. So yeah, congratulations to Kieran there. It's fascinating, Matt, looking at the anti-post market for any Chester races, because you get all the prizes come out and then anything drawn 5 or lower suddenly gets backed as soon as the draw comes. And Monfred's one of them, as well as Blueprints.
Yeah, what I would say here is it's the 7.5 furlong start at Chester gives you as much chance as you're going to get at Chester to tuck in, because the start's just after the winning line turn. So you've got about 2.5 furlongs of sort of fairly straight at Chester, well, as straight as it gets at Chester to work with. And I'll be honest, I didn't massively fancy any of these. The one that I like the most is Drawn Wide, Expert Choice. He had an okay 2-year-old campaign. He won pretty well at Beverly in a Beverly Novice. I just don't think we've seen the best of him yet. Physically, he looks the sort that's going to have plenty more to come. He ran an okay reappearance at Musselburgh. They'd gelded him and they'd stuck blinkers on, and his head carriage was a little bit iffy, which is putting me off slightly. But the Fahey yard's obviously flying. He is drawn wide, but there's plenty of pace kind of all across on his inside. So he's going to have every chance to drop in. And he's just the sort that if they do go a good gallop, he could be kind of perked up by that kind of weaving through. He's going to need luck in running. But if he doesn't show it at Cheston, then I'd be sort of fairly keen that he'd show some improvement at some point this season. But in a race where, yeah, I didn't fancy that many, I'd sort of take a chance with him.
Okay, certainly not the strongest selection from Matt on this week's podcast, but expert choice would be the one for him. Graham Robway, too, you're going to finish us off with the ITV action.
Yeah, I think there's one at a price that could run really well here, Sam. Princess Alex from stall 10, not an ideal draw, but the winner last year was drawn in stall 10. So maybe it'll happen again. Front runner, like Ed says, it helps to be right on the pace. This is just a rapidly improving filly. She's gone up, I think, 18 or 19 pound in three starts, and she finished in amongst horses are rated a lot higher than her in a listed race last time out at Musselboro. That will be it well down the field, and she got bumped up a huge amount for that. As a result, Connections have stuck Sam Fielden on, claiming £7 to get her back down on a mark of 80. She likes soft ground. I think it will be soft ground at Chester. As far as I can see, there's a bit of more rain forecast for Chester. If it arrives, Princess Alex, I think she could run really well. You know, she's an improving filly, three-year-old, and I like horses that fillies that are improving at this time of year.
Hey, Princess Alex for Graham Robway then. Seven races on ITV. Do remember, if having a bet, do gamble responsibly this weekend, especially with Royal Ascot coming up. We're going to be back shortly after this with any other bets, as well as our weekend naps.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with three uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. And you join us for our Any Other Bets segment of the show. Is there anything away from the ITV cameras that our panel fancy? I'm going to just quickly kick things off and give a mention to the Prix de Diane happening on Sunday from Chanty, the French Oaks, as it's known as. And I'd like to give a mention to Gala Real in this. Christophe Soumillon taking the ride for a yard that are doing really well at the moment. The Botta yard out there are doing really well. And this horse here beat a horse called Aventure in the Prix de la Sienne, a listed race at Longchamp at the start of May. That was a really impressive performance. And Aventure, who finished second, went on to bolt up on Jockey Club Day out in France and put herself right in the art contention. So they do clash once again, but I think Gala Real is a really top quality horse. Around 7-1 for the Prix de Diane. Gala Real is the top of the list there. Matt, I'll come to you. Any other selections away from the ITV cameras?
Yeah, sprinter that I fancy at Leicester in the 8 o'clock, sub 13. He won a couple of races that at the time I didn't think would be anything flash, but they've worked out really, really well. He beat Kiss and Run and Miss Stormy Night first time at Bath. Kiss and Run improved at Goodwood behind Grand Lad, who was fancied for that three-year-old dash. Miss Stormy Night won at Salisbury last weekend. He then went to Salisbury, beat Connie's Rose, who has won and got beat by the really progressive Rhythmic Acclaim at Goodwood since. And Safari Dream was in behind as well, who was probably unlucky not to win at Windsor on Monday night. So that form's just dead solid. I don't quite know why he was disappointing last time, but he did get a bump at the stalls, and I think he was probably not that well placed. It was quite hard to make up ground that day. Talking about the weather again, Leicester is forecast a boatload of rain, and that'll just enhance his claims if it does. He's only gone up £2 from that Salisbury win, so I think he's still really well handicapped.
Okay, just remind us of the time there of the race.
8 o'clock, Leicester.
8 o'clock at Leicester there. Graham Robway, to you then. A couple of selections from you this week.
Yeah, I've got a couple for you, Sam. In the staying race at Chester, which is at 3:55, Wind Your Neck In. It's called.
All right.
Loads of rain forecast for Chester, hopefully. And this horse likes testing ground. He was good on heavy going last year over mile and a half at Newmarket. Probably needed his return on the all weather. They're going up 4 furlongs in trip here, as I've said many times on this podcast, and Matt has already alluded to. These staying races are often not won by stayers. They're usually won by horses that have got been showing form over shorter trips, and Wind Your Neck In has been doing that. So he's for me at Chester. And in the last race at Sandown, the 5 o'clock, there's also Blinded by the Lights. We all love that song, don't we? Is it The Weeknd?
It is. We had Craig David last week. We're talking about The Weeknd.
Yeah. I'm blinded by the lights. Yeah, I love that one. Haydock, a couple of runs ago, Blinded by the Lights finished second behind Nakib in what is usually a very strong race. Denmark was third. That went on to finish eighth in the St. Ledger. The fifth with Lordship, who won the Melrose at York next time, I think. That form is really strong. He's only £2 higher here. Again, he's had a sort of pipe opener on the all-weather at Newcastle when some Mark Prescott sources were not really bombing. They are bombing now, as always at this time of year. He's got a great record at Sandown. Prescott looks like he's lined this one up for the last race. 5 o'clock at Sandown, Blinded by the Lights.
There we go. And there's Graham Robway's two other selections. And Ed Nicholson, reminder of offers this week as well as a selection from you this week.
Yes, I have got a selection. I'll be at Bath on Saturday, Ladies' Day. Always a good day at Bath. 8 races. Hopefully the sun will shine and the winners will flow. And I've got a horse in the 4:05 at Bath that I just think might win for the first time. Only had 9 runs. You won't even think of the horse. I mean, if I gave you 100 guesses, you wouldn't get it right. But it's a horse called Etritat, number 6 in the 4:05, trained by Charlie Johnson, rated just 64. It's a very poor race, this. There are a couple of horses, 45, 49 rated, 0-65. He's been dropped £2 to 64 since he ran at Wolverhampton. He's joint top rated by Racing Post Ratings on 66. And I noted him down when he ran last time at Wolverhampton. It's not a race that many of you will have noticed, but there'd been a lot of money for him in the early skirmishes of the betting market. So I kind of watched the race especially, and he pulled really badly, and that was it. He had no chance. But he still ran on in the style of a horse that, if he didn't pull, would have been near the finish. And that particular class 6, there was a horse that had been winning a lot of races and a horse that was really well gambled that would have won if he got a run. So I think it's probably, in inverted commas, a good race for a poor race. And I noticed they've come down here. When the Johnsons, before Charlie, obviously his dad, they travel 240 miles to get down to Bath. So when they do go down, they normally go for the fast ground and also for the easier opportunities. And I just thought, Etfree, I've got no price at the moment, but I'd imagine it'd be double figures. And I'd be looking at backing him each way with a dead eight. I think he'll run a good race. Joe Fanning was booked up, but I noticed that he hasn't got a jockey at the moment. But Joe Fanning was definitely booked up earlier in the week. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Etfree at a big price. He hasn't had too many turf runs. He's not a world beater. He's probably the worst horse in their stable. But I think he's got a really good opportunity to win a race.
Yeah, Charlie Johnson in really good form as well. I've just noticed on the Race Post website that Liam Kinneary is jocked up actually on the horse.
Right. Well, he's a really good jockey at Bath. He rides regularly at Bath and knows the course really well.
That's probably why they've chosen to put him aboard the horse. Yeah, look out for that at Bath at the weekend. So there we go. Plenty of selections to look forward to this week. Let's get into the best bets of the weekend then. I'll kick things off as always in the 3 o'clock at York, the race of the Ebor Grand Cup Stakes listed contest. I'm gonna be a Relentless Voyager. As we said already, really impressed by the way this horse won at Epsom last time up. I think the step up 2 furlongs is going to see further improvement from this horse. I think this four-year-old's on a massive up, and we're going to see this horse shorten in the Ebor market. Graham Robway, to you, who's the best bet?
Yeah, I sometimes try and knock it out of the park, but I'm going to try and play it safe this week, Sam. I'm going to go for a day in Devon, in the Scurry, the 2:40 at Sandown, to outclass them.
A day in Devon for Graham Robway then. Ed Nicholson, to you.
Yeah, I'm going the 205 at Sandown. Dual Identity, three-time course winner, won over the course of distance last time out, to come second at Sandown as well. Absolutely loves it, Alicia, and will get the fast pace he needs from a good draw. And the stable are in cracking form. So, yeah, Dual Identity to win again at his favourite track at Sandown.
A Dual Identity, Fred Nixon. I'm sure Matt Gardner is his best bet. It's going to go for one in a big handicap.
Yeah, a bit of a glutton for punishment with these sprint handicaps, aren't I? Yeah, 3:35 at York Pocklington. I think he's a pattern class sprinter running off 96.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more there. So there's our best bets on screen now. Remember, these are boosted with Unibet at the time of this video and podcast upload. So you can head to unibet.co.uk to get hold of our best bets there. And that's it for this week's show. As always, a spin through, find out where everyone is this weekend. Ed Nixon, you've kind of told us that you're going to be at Bath this weekend. Is there anything else going on for you?
Yep, no, Bath on Saturday, I don't know where we are, Saturday, and then Chepstow on Monday before Royal Ascot on Tuesday. So it's a big week of racing for me.
Absolutely. Matt's looking out the window, looking at weather, wondering, will the bike come out or not this week? And what's the plans for you?
Yeah, it's not looking positive, is it? I don't know. I might get to York on Saturday. There's a chance I'll do that. I think I'm working Sunday actually as well. So sort of some good stuff and some work to do as well.
You can tune in to Sean T for Deanne Day out there. Graham Robway, last week I was at Goodwood on Friday listening to Craig David. As we said, I'm going again Friday evening, tomorrow evening. It's Gokwan DJing.
I've seen Gokwan do DJ set before.
Yeah, there we go.
He came to Chelmsford one night and he did a DJ set on Ladies' Day last year, straight after Bananarama had played. Yeah, it was a joyous day that was, and the weather was gorgeous, unlike what it is now.
I look forward to that. What are you up to?
Well, unfortunately, I've got to work a lot this weekend, Sam, because, of course, we've got one of the biggest meetings of the whole year, haven't we, next week, Royal Ascot. So, it's not really a hardship for us, is it, you know, to sit there working on one of the greatest race meetings of the entire year, and I can't wait for it to start.
Absolutely, yeah, next week. And that's a good reminder. You'll be able to hear Graham Robway's top bets for the meeting on Monday on the postcard. Remind, that'll be up at 11 a.m. on Monday morning. So you can get myself, Ed Nicholson, Graham Robway and Robbie Wilder's top five bets for the week ahead. Really excited to film that with the guys. So yeah, make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel so you don't miss out on that. Big thanks to the guests as always, Matt Gardner, Graham Robway and Ed Nixon. As always, do like, comment, share and subscribe. And we will see you on Monday morning at 11 a.m. Enjoy the racing.